Let's read from Matthew chapter 15. Let us consider the story, was told here in Matthew chapter 15. And we'll start reading from verse 21. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we good? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. Our God is a covenant-keeping God. And in this season, He will remember His covenant to you and to your family. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, I say to you prophetically, do not be afraid. For the Lord will come through for you. You will not be put to shame. The Lord will defend you. And He will defend your name.
Amen.
Wherever you are being discussed, the Lord will defend you.
Amen.
The Lord will put in His seal of approval on your name.
Amen.
Because men have looked down on you, therefore the Lord will exalt you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's read from Matthew 15 and from verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, I want you to pay attention to where He went to. Alright? That already tells you He was in a Gentile territory. Jesus visited an area outside of Israel. Alright? And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. A woman of who? Now, what land did God promise the Israelites? Did He promise them Canaan? When they left Egypt. So, Canaan is supposedly expected to be a location for Israel, because they were supposed to occupy that land. But look at, hundreds of years later, can you hear me now? Hundreds of years later, we still had Canaanites, traditional, homegrown Canaanite. Which means that in the program of God, Israel was not actually living up to divine expectation. Look at the time it took for God to move them from Egypt. And look at hundreds of years later. I'm talking about as far back as the days of Joshua. Hundreds of years. Look at how many judges. You know, if you read the book of Judges, you'll see so many stories. Some of them were popular judges. Some of them were not really popular. Some of them messed up. Look at the era of the kings. Look at when Israel was split into two. We now had Judah. We had Israel, the two kings. Look at all these years and years. This one ruled for 40 years. This one ruled for 30 years. This one, you know, you just imagine like there was enough time to take this territory. But there were some cities like Tyre and Sidon that were yet having this original occupant. So God flagged those areas as enemy territory. Please, I want you to understand that every time God wants to start something with you, God has a generational perspective about it. When the Lord called Abraham out, it was not just because of Abraham. God was also transferring the same covenant to His son and also to His grandchildren and till He got to Jesus. So there is nothing God is doing with you that is about you. And this theory is what many pastors consider when they hand over to their children. Please, are you with me? Because the priesthood is supposed to stay in a family. If God calls you, it was your family he called. If God decides to enter into it, you see the problem, why we are angry is because we didn't discover our own assignment. So you're angry at somebody who found out what was supposed to be and trained his son. Huh? Unfortunately, it may not come in the package you like. But that's another matter. Unfortunately, God doesn't really care about those things. You are the one taking Panadol for the head or whatever it is you have. God doesn't really care. But I'm just saying that if God had entered into a covenant of wealth with you, so what God expects you to do is to now understand the consecration, the requirement. You see, you may be called into finance. The Lord would have apportioned that level to you, or could have chosen you like Joseph of Arimathea to be in government. So you will also have consecrations. The Lord will be asking you to fast and pray. People will think it's because you want to be a pastor. No. You are learning the spiritual angle to your calling. I don't know if you are with me now. So you have a Daniel who is in government, but he had prayer hours, prayer times. There are people now, what they are doing right now, they don't have prayer times again. There's those ancient believers, those saints of those days, they had what they know as, they called hour of prayer. No matter what they are doing, even if they were in a bus with you, or you are driving them to back home from work, if the prayer time is 7 p.m., they will just say, sorry, I want to pray. They will tell you. So don't talk to me. Don't tell me, have you seen this thing on Instagram? I will not answer you. So I'm in your car, but I have to give you that respect. I want to pray. Wear your headset. He will have to decide if he wants to be helping you after that day. Because now he has known that anytime he calls Tunde, 7 p.m., no matter which club is playing, Tunde will stop talking to you. Just the way you are screaming about your football, he will start screaming with his own tongues. So don't confuse that God has chosen you to raise you as an eternal excellence, to exonerate yourself from the consecrations of your calling. Israel was chosen to take over Canaan, but hundreds of years later, we still had a woman out of Canaan. So what was Israel doing? Israel, as at this time that this story was being recorded, Israel had lost their place with God. And when you lose your place with God, the covenant becomes inactive. Do you know what it means to lose your place with God? The first way to lose your place with God is to no more be conscious of the covenant. It's not really sin. It's not really sin. You just get to that place where you are now hustling. Please, are you hearing me now? You are hustling. You are trying to do what young career people do. You forget that even where you are now, there is a covenant foundation for that thing. So when you are no longer mindful of the covenant, you will now begin to, over time, forget about this, forget about that. Yeah, some of the visions and the dreams God gave to you, they will become very faint. It's not something that happens in one day. You just notice that after some time, you are in the osu. You are in the osu. And for some reason, you are no more mindful of the covenant. How do people lose their place? Because apart from being no longer being mindful of the covenant, they now begin to make unholy alliances. Unholy alliances, and that's something you need to take note of. Unholy alliances are the people that you allow in your space that the Lord who brought you into covenant has no business with. Please, are you with me? You know, it's very easy to just assume that you can choose anybody to be your friend. The moment God lays his hand on you and separates you, you cannot make that decision alone. Please understand this. I know people listen, but there are people, which one is here, which one is listening? People can hear you. Or people are listening to you, but they are not really hearing you. They just tune out. Eh? But believe me, if God lays his hands on you, eh? If you are not careful, he will separate you from your family. If you are not careful, he won't say leave your family, but when the persecutions come, you may find a David who was on his knees when Samuel was anointing and he was falling under the throne and say, wow, did you see? That was powerful. Wow! I will listen to that by the bright future. People celebrated him and shook his hand. Oh, David, our family will produce a king. That was the only day everybody was happy. After that day, it was trouble. When he went to challenge this, Samuel told him he will be king. The Samuel told him he will have to kill Goliath. You see, the revelation is progressive. Do you know that there are certain things the Lord might have told you or might have told you? Oh, I want to do this with you. But by reason of time and occasion and sluggishness and slothfulness or not doing certain things right, that door will expire. If you continue to insist and say, God, you said to me, you need to go back to God and ask, are you still saying this? Come on, somebody here now. You need to go back and say, God, you told me to kill my son. Has the plan changed? Because God can change his mind. By reason or occasion of other circumstances like national event or somebody doing something else that might now interfere with the original plan that he has for you. So God will need to change course or change direction and say, don't go left again, now go right. Please, somebody hear me now. So don't just be stuck up and say, God said. God said, go and confirm or reconfirm. When God laid his hands upon David, did God tell him to leave his family? But when Saul started coming after him, did he run away? Did he leave his family? Later, his family came to meet him in the wilderness because even they were no longer safe. I'm telling you some of the things that hinder people from fulfilling that. The most time we look at the big things, we don't look at the small things. If the Lord has revealed to you that in the future you will be a pastor, or you will be a prophet, and you are a woman, or you are going to be a pastor's wife or something, and you make that your friend that doesn't play with Friday night, Ashale Friday, there's something they call it. It's a kind of tumba thing, just to unwind, karaoke or something. She loves God though. She loves God, but she's also a balanced social being. She's balanced. Now, if that's your best friend, the day you are quarreling with your husband, she'll be the one to tell you, why are you taking that rubbish? There are certain things that, as far as being married to a pastor is concerned, it is the norm. It is the norm. So, if you are not married to a pastor, you may not experience that. But you see, where God is also sending you to, certain things will be the norm. Like, your husband is called to be a pillar for the gospel financially. He's called into it. He's called to be blessed, which means even if he sells pure water, he'll be a billionaire. It's not a question of what he's selling now, but there's a covenant. All he has to do is sell something. Are you with me? So if that kind of a man is walking in that kind of covenant, then one day you just say, why don't you change our car? The moment you said, the Lord said, I want you to give $1 million to three churches, one million each. Or then take $5 million to Pastor Gwenga. Pastor Gwenga may be in his house watching Netflix. He just gets an alert. Then you say, babe, are we not supposed to discuss it? It's good for us to discuss things as a couple. But you see, the moment the one who called me said, do this, your opinion doesn't count. Informing you is just for your information purposes. But it's not as if your disobedience will stop it. Because you see, the day I stop listening to him, that well will be shut. So what that means is that if I marry somebody like that, the first responsibility I have is to confirm personally. Because sometimes it may be the woman that may have that anointing. You are the husband, but it's your wife that has it. You need to first of all confirm that 4 out of 5 times when she said God told her like that, she was right. Please, are you with me? Don't just follow somebody blindly. Hey, come on, are you with me now? Do you know the kind of anointing your husband carries? I want to ask you. Do you know the kind of anointing your wife carries? I know you love yourself, you're always online. I said, do you know the kind of anointing That lady, you say God says she will be your wife, your fiancé, your fiance. Do you know the kind of grace that is on her life? Is there something that if she tells you, go and sleep, you can bank your check on it, that thing will be the way she has said it? Is there something that brother, if he says to you, you know that he's speaking from his office spiritually? You should be able to leverage on that. If I have a wife that sees visions, even when she doesn't want to see visions, why am I killing myself? I'll just call you. Let's pray. I want to pray about this something. So I'll be praying. I'm not asking God to talk to me. I expect him to talk to you. Because you are the one that only, even when we are driving, you see vision. When you are cooking, you see vision. Even when you just want to watch a Korean drama, you still see vision. Say the Lord is talking to me. Yeah. Okay, come, let's pray. Is it not better than going on 21 days when I have an oracle in my house? So be wise. You need to know the anointing the person you are living with carries. And that's why many people, including pastors, their wives don't benefit from their anointing because of see finish. God will isolate you, because if he keeps you in a place of comfort, your anointing will not grow. Are you with me now? Somebody is not hearing me. Are you still here? I said, if God blesses you with an anointing, whether it's anointing for wealth or for creativity or for being a prophet or whatever, if God keeps you in a comfort zone, you will not grow. That's why when you see people who have been in church like this and they decide to fall, they fall so far away from God because they always felt the message did not apply to them. So there was this woman. I just said all of that to establish the fact that a person can be apportioned a prophecy that is 900 years old, and his children will still be struggling to meet up. Up till now, Israel is still fighting for territory, because the calling that was given to Israel was a calling for territory, to own land. And you will always know where your calling is by reason of where the warfare is coming from. Somebody didn't hear that one. You will know that there are certain things, no matter what people say, it really doesn't affect you. But you will notice there's one particular area that you struggle with. Please, are you with me? That you always need to fast and pray. That area, there's something there. The scripture says, the woman came out of Canaan, out of the same coast, and cried unto him. So when she saw Jesus, she recognized that this was the Lord Jesus. She cried. She didn't say, hi, please, just to be sure, are you Jesus? You look like somebody I've seen on TV. Is your Facebook account at Jesus_apostle? That's what this generation today will do. They say, okay, you know, let's just take a picture first. I'll tag you. It's not like they are trying to be wicked, though. That's their generation. Hey. You see grace walking, and the first thing you want to do is tag it. Say, please, just to be sure, are you? She points to say, are you Jesus? Say, oh! No grace for recognition. The Bible says when she saw him, she cried. The word cry there signifies attitude. The way she did it. She knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be helped. She knew that when God wants to visit you, it's an audience of one. God doesn't require 500 people to see you. He may be on the street, and he will just send somebody. And that day, that is Jesus manifesting through that person. And anything that person tells you can be the end of your sorrow. Come on, are you with me now? She recognized the opportunity, and she cried out. She cried out. Some of us don't know how to cry. We've allowed the problem to overwhelm us. Don't allow it. Because it is still Jesus that will fix it. I say it's still Jesus that will fix it. Every time I read the scripture, I try to pay attention to these things, because I know that this is the way I will have a future. I have realized, the Lord has made it very clear to me, that covenant trumps territory and location. God has made it very clear to me. The Lord told me, he said, look, if I ask you to go to Damaturu, and you obey me, eh? I can bring the world to you there. Go to Boko and see their meetings. You will see white men. You will see black, see red, see green. When they come, they are not complaining about the road, the bad road. They are coming to meet with Jesus. But because there's a man there by the name of Billy Akon, you may not like him because his messages are very hard. But the white men are coming. Huh? Your covenant, you must be conscious about it. The location wherein the Lord will fulfill his word in your life, that covenant, you must also identify it. And many times the location can change per time. So you need to be sensitive to know if the Lord will have you to be here now, and he will have you to be somewhere else. And there are people that if the Lord is telling you, go, 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 and you are not going, we create crisis for you. You will start having problems there till you move. Because most times the crisis is only a sign that he has been trying to tell you, move, and you are not really responding quickly. He will push problem. When he pushes the problem, you will just pack your bag. You will not pray again. Pack everything, pack everything. You, where are you going? I don't know, but I'm going first. You just be going. When I get to Iyanoru, I will know what to do. Hallelujah. You must have a kind of attitude, especially when you are trusting the Lord for something specific. The woman cried out. And what did she say? Lord, have mercy on me. What did she say? Lord, have mercy on what? On me. So she realized, first of all, that she did not meet the requirement. She failed in the criteria. She knows that this virus in my body, if God does not have mercy on me, faith will not count. Are you with me now? If God does, have you ever been sick before and you became concerned that you may not survive it? Who knows what I'm talking about? You are sick and somewhere that thought just came that you will die if you are not careful. John? Aha. Okay, you are me. It's not because the thing is not treated, but when the doctor is talking to you and the doctor is sounding confusing. Have you seen confused doctors of late? I see them, but the way they are talking is like they are not even sure. I brought myself to the hospital. Even the doctor is not sure. I'll be the one telling the doctor, this is the way my malaria is. She said, no, we are not sure. I said, doctor, it's malaria. Give me injection. Drug will not work. Have you ever argued with the doctor before? Oh? Doctor, you want to use me to learn work. This thing, you can't. I will not allow you to kill me. It's injection. My own malaria, once you reach this level, now injection. You have to insist. If not, they'll just carry paracetamol and give you. And say, it's just one plus. Give me injection. Say, have mercy on me, O Lord, my owner, my Savior, the one who controls me. Have mercy on me, O Lord. That is the most powerful prayer of a servant of God. The most powerful prayer is not just when you speak in tongues. It's when you recognize that you have government, spiritual government over you, and you have gotten to a bus stop in your journey, and you are not really sure what you need to do next. And the reason for that prayer is because you have lives attached to you. You have a wife. You have children. They are lined up hoping that daddy knows what he's doing. So it is not the time to say, Yaki, Abana. Hey, slow down. We will still pray. Right now, you need to appeal to the Lord of mercy. The one who owns you, the one who led you by the hand and by the hearing of the ear and brought you to this stage where you are now. You need to be able to beckon to him and say, my Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on me means I am now confused. I know you told me to come, but right now, I don't know what to do again. And believe me, no matter how spiritual you are, we all get there. Hello, I say we all get there. Some of you do not know. Sometimes... God allowed it that way so that we can depend on each other. I was waiting on the Lord for 45 days. By the time I got to the 35th day, then the angel of the Lord appeared to me. is the man calling her saying, I don't know. This dream, I've had it 3 times. I still don't know the meaning. Man of God, what do you think God is saying? When he's making come, I'm laughing because even from what he has said, like, I already know the meaning. Do you understand? I already know the meaning. There are places you will get to in your life that you will have more questions than answers. So you need to be able to beckon to the God who has brought you here and say, my Lord, have mercy on me. If you don't direct me now, everybody that is behind me, they will suffer. This is one of the prayers that must never leave your mouth. It is not a sign of maturity that you cannot ask for mercy. It's not a sign of maturity. It may actually be a sign that you have lost it. Please, are you with me? It may be a very strong sign when you cannot say, I'm confused. I don't know what to. When you say, Pastor, we should say, let's hold on. I don't know. Because Pastor is not always right, too. I say Pastor is not always right, too. Pastor may just finish drinking shekpe and on top of pandediam and ewedu and egusi and ebokoto. You now can say, Pastor, I want to travel. Pastor is belching. In your mind, Pastor is just coming from prayer room. The woman said, Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Now, I may be concerned. Jesus preached in Israel for 3.5 years. The Pharisees struggled with his identity. The Sadducees, the religious leaders, the scribes, they struggled with who Jesus really was. This woman met Jesus once, and she knew that he was the son of David. We have to be careful. Most of those people, we think that we know God more than, they will shock us. The woman just saw him for who he was. She didn't have time to be arguing theology. Can you prove that he's the son of God? She saw him once, and she saw that this is Jesus. This is the son of David. This woman was a Gentile, but was able, which means that the Pharisees could not discern him. It was a very serious spiritual condition. It was not just because they didn't like him. Satan had blinded their eyes. Something was happening to them. When you are standing in front of those who God has sent to you, and you cannot see it, you cannot perceive it because of your pride. We will be graduated together. And so what? But we are no more in school. I know her. She was not even among the best today in my class. Hey, she's working at Chevron now. Humble yourself. Where is Buki? Buki, that in those days, I just hit her head from the back. She even be crying in the class. She's a PA to the governor now. If you now see Buki, and the governor goes, hey, Buki, the moment you touch her head, you'll just see FT men. They will bundle you and throw you out. Because, you see, you don't know times. You are looking at people after the flesh. You don't know who you are dealing with. You think authority is by size? The woman saw Jesus just once and she knew, if there's any day I will get what I want, it is today. She didn't go into that, are you really the, hey, you're asking me whether I'm really the son of God? Okay, go with your problem. Sir, can you really help me? You are still asking. Continue. Problem no go finish. You understand? Some people were never meant to be helped because you talk too much. You want to understand first. Sorry, I hope your money is not blood money. Don't worry. It's blood money. Go and suffer with your problem. My money is Jesus' blood money, so it doesn't matter. I'm not even planning to give you one kobo. So, since you're asking too many questions, argue with your keypad. Have mercy on me. Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And she did not wait. She threw in a request. And I want to bring out something here. Most times when we pray and we ask the Lord, Lord, mercy, 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 there is a particular area that is on our mind that we want God to help us to respond to. The moment you begin to ask for, don't ask for mercy like a spiritual bigot, like somebody who is just trying to be spiritual. Mercy must have a sense of direction. When I say, Lord, have mercy, it may be in an area I'm struggling with, Lord, my anger management, I'm losing control, my job, I'm not okay mentally. You need to be able to throw in your request immediately and say, Lord, this is what is happening to me. This woman, the moment she said, do we have the scriptures of? Please give me the scriptures. She said, Lord, have mercy on me. The next statement she made was that what? My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. My daughter is grievously, that means it's something that is an attack that has, you know, when something is grievous, it's just like when you are treating your child, your young child at home, and it seems with every night, it gets worse. The drugs are not working. The doctor will keep telling you, keep using them, but you are not seeing the effect. Grievously. So the demons, it was a devilish operation that was working against every law of science. They could not really explain why the girl was the way she was, and nobody had the solution. It was a grievous attack. It came with vengeance, with the intention to destroy that child. The woman said, my daughter, give me that scripture, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. With a devil. So this was the direction where she needed mercy. Please, it is not pride. Eh? Well, no. It's not humility to sound spiritual when it comes to mercy. For mercy to be effective, there must be a direction. There must be something that you are trusting God to have mercy on you on. Please, are you with me now? These things are very simple, but we gloss over them. Some of you will ask for mercy, and you will speak in tongues for 3 hours without giving it direction. Please, are you with me now? The woman said, Lord, have mercy on me. These stories were written in the Bible so that we could learn how these things work. Are you with me now? Come on, are you with me now? I said these things were documented so that we could learn how these things work. Did Jesus rebuke her for talking the way she did? He did not. Say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have, and you are speaking in tongues for 7 hours. You have not said anything. Because there is a way your mind, your intelligent mind, works with your prayers, especially when you are asking for help. If you come to my house and you talk to me about the football match that is we'll be playing this week, talk to me about politics, and we are both frustrated about Nigeria's case, eh? And we talk, and you did not remember to tell me you are hungry. If you have told me, Pastor, I beg, make with the, as we talk, do you have anything at home? I never chop. I will just call somebody at home, please, help me cook some rice or something. While we are fighting on Nigeria's matter, something will be cooking. But you came. He said, Pastor, this next election, we are going all out. I will believe that you are energetic. And you are, what we eat is not your problem. It's just that you are concerned about Nigeria's problem. But if you just say, Pastor, well, God bless you. Say, Pastor, before we go far. I say, you never chop. Abel, do we have yam? The yam we're eating more. Please, oh yeah, cook yam. Tunde is here. Funke is here. Even if I cannot give you money, but you still eat. Abi, let's start from there. You now come. 3 hours. At the end of the day, your daughter is seriously vexed. You did not talk. Meanwhile, the Bible says as they spoke in tongues, they magnified the Lord. Which means when they interpreted your 3 hours, you are saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible said they magnified the Lord and prophesied. You might be just thanking God for the last child. You don't know. You are not aware. So they say it's okay. It's a man of faith. It's of you to say, Father, I have a situation where the devil has cornered me. I am in a corner now. I have prayed, it's not working. I have fasted, it's not working. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Whenever you are cornered, beckon to his mercy. When you are cornered and everything you've known that worked before is not working, begin to provoke the mercy of God. Begin to provoke. The mercy of God is encapsulated in the blood of Jesus. God, man never found solution. Man never found mercy. Man never found forgiveness until he found the blood. Begin to beckon to the blood. Begin to beckon to the mercy of God. Lord, if you leave me like this, I will die. I will become forgotten. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You can be saying that for 3 hours. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. As you are praying in tongues, be saying, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. 3 hours. The moment you break in the spirit, you will feel a release. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please lift up right hand and say, Lord, have mercy. Upon my family, upon my life, in the name of Jesus, open the doors again. Let times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. You have to learn how to keep speaking. Keep speaking. Don't hold your tongue. Satan will want to push you to that place where you will stop speaking. But do you know that nobody really stops speaking? They only change their confession. Do you know that? Nobody really stops talking. Nobody, even when you see someone saying, I've decided I won't be talking again, it's a lie, she's talking. You see a brother says, oh, I will not talk again, he's talking. It's just that he's now speaking negatively. It's your confession that changed. Nobody really stops talking. Because the first thing that happens when you stop talking, your mouth will start smelling. The day your helper comes, say, praise God, they don't run. They just run. They say, you are not the kind they were looking for. God did not design you to be... So you have to keep talking. And your confession must align with your prophecy. Yes. Jesus answered that. Let's read verse 23. Verse 23. Jesus answered that and said, Jesus answered her not a word. That means she must have stayed there for a few minutes, rolling on the floor, going on her knees, begging God for her daughter. She wasn't asking for herself. She was asking for her daughter, Lord, save my child. And the scripture says Jesus did not answer her a word. So for me, every time, because some of you are praying and you think God did not hear, God is just looking at you. He's not answering you. It's not that he's not there. He will answer you, but just that he's watching your attitude. When you know you need help from God, don't come with your village spirit. Don't come to your village spirit and be sounding like you are okay. You are not okay. This altar where I'm standing here, if you know how many prayers go on this altar when people are not here, I'm not talking about Sunday service, when people are not here, when it's just a fellowship of one, here, this altar, this where I'm standing here. Because wherever you pray often, power converges there. Come on now. Wherever you pray often, power converges there. If you are someone that prays in a particular place, you are maybe in your room. Has it ever occurred to you sometimes you just get it, it's like the atmosphere is ready? Please, who knows what I'm talking about? You wanted to pray, you've not started. You just came into the room. You left the parlor, came to the room. It's as if the atmosphere in the room is different from the atmosphere in the parlor. This one is congealed. You've textured it with a kind of intercession. When you just come in, there's access. Sometimes, also coming to talk to me there, just come here. There's prayer here. There's prayer here. Jesus asked, give me that verse. Jesus answered her not a word. Verse 23, quickly. Do we have a problem with the... Is it showing? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. See what pastors are saying. Send her away. You would think that somebody that has been with Jesus for 3 years should have mercy. Peter, that when Jesus found he was a frustrated fisherman, he fished, he toyed all night, he didn't catch anything. Peter was the first person to say, send her away. You're a broken woman. Send her away. Bad woman. She will bring bad luck to us. Because Jesus is not someone that will allow you to wait for long. For whatever reason, Jesus is not talking. She's a bad woman. You are going through some challenges. It doesn't mean that God is the one causing those things. It's not that you are forgotten. And you see, the way you see God, it matters. The moment Satan convinces you that God has forgotten you, which is why all those things are happening to you, you are falling into the trap of Satan. Because everybody goes through challenges. I say everybody goes, including the one that says, I'm a man of faith. I don't have challenges. It's just confession. I say it's confession, though. You pray that the day of trial, you will have enough stamina spiritually to withstand it. You just pray. Because there's a day that's called the day of trial. Jesus didn't answer her a word. And the disciples said, the men of God, the bishops, who did not pray, that ye can't leave my courier there. We are praying, but God is not talking. What's going on here? They did not even pray. Esther, we need to be at Capernaum now. We have a revival. She can't lay down. Because all those area boys, they are there. Let's send her away. Send her away, for she's crying after us. You know the meaning of crying? So Jesus was walking like this, and there was a woman behind him. This one is bad market. She will now hold his shirt. So all the social media guys say, hey, juicy news for Insta blog. Carry your camera. I can't believe this is a man of God. That's the capture. I can't believe a man of God should be merciful. A man of God should be kind. A man of God should be patient. Can you see this woman in this 5 minutes? People will start analyzing the video. And they will not say, please don't judge me, oh. I'm only analyzing what you people put on the Instagram. You know me, I just tell my people, we just post all these videos of your G-papas and your daddy Gios. And then me, I will just, have you seen those videos before? Have you seen those videos before? They will now come and I say, there's one church in Maryland. The pastor, we don't even know it's a pastor or it's a drama member. He will preach, he will tell story, he will laugh. Say, some people, they just call themselves. They are not called. If we should get ready, it will soon be my turn. They are fought by fathers. They are coming. It's just a matter of time. Because later, don't worry. Who is even in that mirror saying, I have been there. Let's go and check him out. Take some of my old messages when I was just learning this work. Say, can you imagine? See, this is not the word of God. Someone that doesn't have one member will be telling me that what I'm preaching is not good. You did not even ask me that, why is he even preaching now? Maybe he has grown. He has become more mature. They will not assess you. They will not take my video like this. Say, how can this one be a man of God? What are you? You that you are using your 1 MB to analyze me. What are you? She was crying after them. The man of God could not even say anything. These people, many of them are wicked, and some of you are giving them your tithe. Jesus answered. Come on, say Jesus answered. The moment the pastors became confused, Jesus decided it was time to talk. Because every time people want to raise an accusation against you, especially spiritual people, people that you know as Christians, people that you expect to understand you, they are the ones trying to tell you that maybe it's because God is angry with you. God will quickly talk. Because the arrow that comes from a brother is deeper than the arrow that comes from a stranger. God quickly spoke and he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What did Jesus mean by that? Jesus was trying to say that as in the current dispensation of heaven, it was not time for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. So anything that is happening now, she's not qualified. She's trying to knock on the door that has not been opened officially. Next verse. The moment she heard that, what Jesus said, she came and changed her crying to what? To worship. Come on, are you with me now? The moment she heard what Jesus said, she now knew why God was quiet. The reason why some of you say God is quiet, it's not time yet. It's not time. What you are asking for is not time. It's not time yet. The moment she had, she changed her strategy. In every timeline, there must be a loophole. In every provision, there must be a caveat. in every constitution, there must be a loophole that, and that's why your legislators are the way they are. They know what to do if they want to make the constitution perfect. Just put lawyers in the House of Assembly, and there are many lawyers there. But they always leave the loopholes so that they can, you know, beat the system. They can beat it and be sending prayers to email. She changed her crying to what? To worship. Give me that scripture. Then she came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. The one who says has come to worship you. The one you say has come to worship you. The one you say has come to worship you. The one you say has come to worship you. There are things that have happened to some of you. You could have died, and the world would have moved on. Are some things coming to your mind? Huh? So you should not be careful with your worship. You should be reckless. The woman cried, and she, as long as she cried, she was escorting Jesus. The moment she turned her complaint to worship, she was still saying the same thing, except that this time she was prostrate. She had a posture of worship, because she knows no matter what you do, it is only Jesus that can open the door for you. You are complaining. Forget the complaint. Start worshiping. Hallelujah. I said start worshiping. You start worshiping. That's what you need to do. See, the thing is, the moment she started doing that, Jesus now started talking. Some of you want to bring down the gates of heaven with your prayer. Bah! Ha! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Now, if you break my door, how will I answer you? By the time you break the door down, and I finally answer you, will you repair my door before you go? Eh? Don't break the door down. Maybe it's your helper you are looking for. Eh? It's your helper. Don't break the door. Just knock. He said, ask, seek, knock. He didn't say, ask, seek, and break the door. He said, ask, seek, and knock. The one you saved, oh. The one you saved, oh. The one you saved, oh. We have come to say thank you, our God, oh God.
The one you saved has come to worship you.
Jesus said to her in verse 26, it is not proper to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. So deliverance belongs to you. Hallelujah. If you are being oppressed now, Jesus said, this is supposed to be your breakfast. It is your right to be free and to be delivered. It may be true for mental issues, physical health, spiritual problems. Jesus said, it is not meet to take the children's bread. That means the deliverance he was asking for would have been easier if she was a child of God. So she was an outsider asking for insider privilege. But you see, the essence of this exhortation this morning is not really about the conversation. It's about the woman's ability to insist. So if I have to title this message, I will title it, Insist Again. I will tell you insist. Because many of you just said, Jesus said, no. And when you heard no, you did not ask why. Come on, are you with me? You did not ask why. It's the person who asks why that we learn. If you ask the question why, your teacher will explain. If you just say, yes, teacher says 2 plus 2 is 4, the day we come and tell you 2 plus 2 is 10, that's how you take it. You go and fail exam. Meanwhile, the external exam will not be marked by your teacher. 2 plus 2 is 4. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a place for that. But there are other times you need to ask God, why is this thing pending? I believe you told me this, but why is it pending? You told me I will be married. What is going on? You need to ask. It's the one who asks that will get explanation. Look at what Jesus said. Look at what the woman said. She said in verse 27, please let's look at verse 27. Jesus already told her that she was a dog. She was an outsider. She was not covered by the covenant. What did the woman say? Say truth. Mama, I know. You can use your language to tell God. I say, I know. She didn't say, okay, Jesus said, we'll wait. When Peter becomes the senior pastor, we'll come back. Jesus said, you are an outsider. She said, truth. I know. But I also know you are the God of mercy. I know I'm not qualified. I know I messed up. I know I did an abortion. I know I'm not even supposed to be forgiven. But I know if I'm still breathing, you have a place for me. I know if you speak a word now, something is going to happen to my destiny. I know I don't qualify, but if you can just say a word, I know. She said truth. He said, Lord, yet even the dogs, the outsiders that you are talking about, the people who are not sons of the family. She said what? She said, the dogs eat from the crumbs. It's not possible to eat and your plate to be so clean. I know some of you want to be like French people. Don't believe the movies. Even if the president of America eats now, they will still have to clean that table. Huh? The woman said, there is no harm. You see that small crumb? It's okay for me. But let me eat something. Let me partake of life. Let my child be free. These are the petitions of parents, of mothers, that many of you do not know what your parents have done to keep you alive. They petition God and say, Baba, this is my daughter, nothing must happen to her. Even though she wasn't qualified. They say, that crumbs, we will pack it. And maybe we will get a spoon. We will get a spoon. If we get that spoon, we are okay. Jesus answered. You know, Jesus is talking now. When she was crying, Jesus didn't talk. When she started worshiping, Jesus started talking. When she started responding to Jesus' inquiry, Jesus started talking more. Look at what Jesus said. Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Sorry, sir. I don't know what is great about this one, but coming from you, I cannot argue. For Jesus to say this was great, that means Jesus didn't see this level of insistence among Israelites. The two times Jesus saw things like this, they were with unbelievers. The first one was this woman. The second was that centurion who said to Jesus, don't come to my house, speak a word. What is it about unbelievers? That they know how to lay hold on God. They know they are not qualified, so they are not dragging with you. You are the one who goes to church every day. You are on online meetings. You fast. You pray. All your friends, they are prayer warriors. 7 hours, that's how they pray. And yet you don't know your right. You cannot ask why. Because you are afraid. You don't know what God will say. You are afraid that you will not like the answer. Don't you know that's why many of us are scared? God, why am I not married? Because you are not even... if God go and say, go and marry that carpenter. Hey, Temiti Ban. Somebody here now. You are not even ready for the answer. So when you say, God say, my daughter, patient, say, God say, I should be patient. I will not ask any question again. But in your mind, You wish God could be more direct. An unbeliever came. Yes, a businessman. Wow. We don't have to. We need to know where we are going. Surely help her, go help her. We know we are not qualified, but is there something you can do for us? We are our no. I'm worried. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Jesus said, this level of insistence, which many of us lack, when we face a small challenge, we will run away. We'll go and be crying. The woman cried, nobody answered her. When she started worshiping, God started talking. Come on, say, start worshiping. Stop complaining. Complaining is a sin. As much as worry is a sin. It cuts you off from the provision of heaven. It doesn't let you see how far God has come with you. You will only be seeing what you have not achieved. Jesus said, I have not seen this kind of faith. He said, great is your faith. Therefore, be it, oh my God, give me that scripture. Therefore, be it unto thee as God wills. Look at that scripture. As God wills, please, give me another version. Some people did not seek in James. I want you to see that certain things are not about God. It's about you. New King James, any other version? Look at Amplify. Look at this. Jesus said, answered her, woman, your faith, which is your personal trust and confidence in my power. Your personal. That means it is your what you generated as a result of your relationship. You are not borrowing another person's faith. Your own personal faith. Look how Jesus said. He said, it's great. It will be done for you as you what? As you what? Some of us pray, but we have no wish. It will be done for you as you will. That word wish is the word will. And the word will is a legal term. It will be done for you as you wish. It was not really about Jesus again. It was about what she wanted. And Jesus said, what you have asked for will be done for you. Do you know that if Jesus had left her that day, she would stay in that problem. She would die and go to heaven. But it didn't really matter. You must learn the power of insistence. The ability to insist. The ability, especially when God is not really saying no to you. If God did not say no, forget it. That means it could be yes or no. So you must now have the power to say, God, today, you must speak this word into my life. You must hear God say to your spirit, Toshifeye, Otiribe, that thing you are desiring. Eh? Don't only see God as a kill joy. Like, once you want something, God will say no. No. Most times, you have not brought forth your strong reasons. And the scripture says to us, bring forth your strong reasons. Where is that scripture? I think somewhere in Isaiah. Isaiah 41, 21, I think. Isaiah 41, 21. It says, bring forth your strong reasons. Bring forth your strong... You cried, you did everything, but you didn't bring forth your strong reasons. For God to say, be it unto you according to your desires, God must see your reasons. And don't play that card that God knows my mind. God doesn't look. Stop it. Bring your reasons. Come and talk. Let's know. Why do you want to be married? Why do you want to be married? Others may not need that reason. But if you have experienced a challenge, then you must bring your reason. Because for God to say, I waive that barrier, there must be a reason. Your reason must align with heaven. Give me that scripture. Isaiah 41, 21. Produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. Come on, say, bring forth your strong reasons. You have gone to school, you've graduated, you have done data analytics, you've done business analysis and everything. Yet, the only thing in your name is all those certificates. You don't have anything. If thief comes to your house now, you'll just be packing certificates. There's nothing they will take. And you are saying, God, lift my head. Lift my head. Then God will say, why? So before you come to that prayer meeting, you should have taken time to write down your reasons. Father, this is why. It is okay for you to tell God, this suffering is too much. Tell your neighbor, it's okay. It's okay to tell God, How do you say it in Igbo language, Mama? This suffering is too much. Afufuwa. Mama, talk again. Afufuwa, Lego. This suffering is too much. It's okay. You know, the reason why I'm telling you it's okay, because God now, in heaven, they are eating pandemia this morning. They are enjoying. So it's good you tell the person that can help you that this suffering is what? Is what? Tell God, my emotions wants to destroy me. Afufu, I let go. I want to marry. Eh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay. You can be honest with God. And I want to assure you, these are principles in the Word of God. When you begin to obey them and stay with them, you will find the mercy of God. I want you to thank God this morning and begin to thank Him for what you have heard. The one you said has come to worship you.